one or two more lessons to go in our Wednesday night series on A Heart for God. We've looked at the topics of examining our heart and identifying a heart for God. We looked at the topic of God's heart for us. Tonight, I want us to just think about the heart of the shepherd. And Jesus, of course, is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And as we see and examine in the scriptures, what the scriptures tell us tonight about He as our shepherd, He gives us insight to just how much He cares for us and just how much He desires to be such an integral part of our lives if we'll allow Him. And that's the key often. Sometimes we don't allow Him to be. All we like sheep have done what? We've gone where? We've gone astray. And it's our tendency, even as believers, to kind of stray from the Lord and the things of God. And so we want to talk a little bit about some of these things tonight. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 18, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our Bible study for tonight. So John chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray your blessing now upon this portion of our service as we study your word here in John chapter number 10. Lord, give us insight, help us to understand just how much you care for us. Thank you again for the opportunity that you give us to be here tonight. Help us, Lord, just for these next several minutes to block out the cares of the week, all that's on our agenda, and just for these next several minutes, just spend time with you. Just allow you to speak to our hearts and help us to see the truths and make application to our lives. Thank you again for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and open the Word of God and teach from the Scriptures. Please use me tonight as your vessel and as your instrument in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all through the Bible, there is references to sheep, shepherds, all through the Scriptures. It's part of their life, part of their, not only the life out in the countryside and where they lived, but it was the life around the tabernacle and then around the temple. the sheep and shepherds and sacrifices and all of that. So for anyone to hear the parable or any of the teaching about sheep and shepherds as the scriptures being read, there would have been so much that would have been obvious to the folks listening, or they would have been able to have taken these examples and then to apply them to spiritual truths. And so Jesus brings here this parable. It does say, though, as he brought this parable, that verse 6, but they understood not the things which he spake unto them. So he had to take this parable and explain it more to them so they would understand. But in regards to the heart of the shepherd and to the topic of our Bible studies these last several Wednesday nights, we see just what kind of a heart the Lord has for us. So on your handout, just a couple of opening sentences here. People like to act as if everything is under control. And our society pretends it can solve all of life's problems. I probably should have capitalized and emphasized the word pretend, because our society can't figure out any of its problems. They just make more problems out of more problems out of more problems out of more problems. Anyhow, society pretends it can solve all of life's problems. Humanistic teaching tells us that man is God, but Jesus says that we are still sheep and he is still the shepherd. Isaiah 40:11 on our handout. It's obviously a prophetic psalm of the coming of when the Lord comes. But Isaiah said this: he shall feed his sheep like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them into his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. It's a beautiful picture in that verse of the shepherd and taking the sheep and leading them to green pastures, as the 23rd Psalm says, and leading them besides the still waters. And I'm sure all have seen the picture of it depicts the sheep that has gone astray and the shepherd carrying the sheep back to the fold. All representative of the Lord's heart for us. And so, as we look at this chapter 10, I just have two main points tonight to think about when we think of the heart of the shepherd. The first, in verses 1 through 3, is really the authenticity of the shepherd. The authenticity of the shepherd. So we notice some things here as we read through these. So I have three fill-ins here. There's three types of shepherds when we think about the authenticity of the shepherd that really I think the Lord speaks about here in these verses and elsewhere. Well, you read with me. I'm going to read out loud Jeremiah 50, verse 6, and you tell me what the first fill in the blank would probably be. So Jeremiah said this: my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. So Jeremiah talks about these shepherds that have not been really very good shepherds. They haven't been good shepherds at all. So the first fill in the blank, I'll just give it to you, is there are false shepherds. There are false shepherds. I was preaching on Sunday and gave you that example that not every church, let's see if you remember it, had a food thing to it. I said that not every church was like a particular restaurant. What was that restaurant? Chick-fil-A, right? Not every church is like Chick-fil-A. And if you remember what I meant by that, I don't care where you go in the United States. Maybe, I don't know if Chick-fil-A is international. Every Chick-fil-A that you go to, is they're all the same. The food is the same. The service is the same. The music is the same. It's all the same. But not every church is the same. Okay? Well, the same thing is true about shepherds. Not every shepherd is... there are false shepherds. The Bible warns us about these false shepherds. When Jesus speaks here and records these words in John chapter 10, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. couple of things here. The sheepfold. Sometimes we look at these verses and we think that these verses are referring to heaven. I don't think that these verses are referring to going to heaven. The fold here is really, in my mind, is Israel. It's the nation of Israel. So look at it from that perspective. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. Let me just stop there. So the fold, the sheepfold, is the Jewish people, maybe I could say it as well. There had always been people who came along that were false leaders, false messiahs, who came and tried to lead the people astray. Even in the Gospels, when the Gospel was being preached, and you remember when Paul is preaching the book of Acts, I think it was Gamaliel, they said, listen, Gamaliel said, there have been others that have come along and have tried to lead the people this way and tried to lead the people that way, and they kind of rise on the scene for a little while and then they fall away. Not too long ago, I think he's dead now, but there was a guy who was living in New York City, Schneerson, I think was his name, and he was an Orthodox Jew, and some people thought he was the Messiah. And of course, he wasn't the Messiah. But the point is, there have always been false shepherds. There have been false shepherds in Christianity as well. And the same thing about the whole example with the Chick-fil-A thing. And so Jeremiah says this. In fact, all through the Scriptures, you can find the warnings of the prophets with regards to false shepherds. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. You know this verse too, I'm sure. He said this, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in what kind of clothing?" Yeah, sheep's clothing. "But inwardly," he said, "they are ravening wolves." In John chapter 10, when Jesus, look at verse 11, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." The phrase, the "I am" there, is more than just Jesus saying, "I'm the one." It is emphatically saying, "I am the good shepherd. Every other shepherd is a false shepherd." Okay, there's only one shepherd, Jesus is saying, and I am that shepherd. So we have to realize that if we understand the heart of the shepherd. I was speaking with someone today, and they were telling me about someone who was actually raised in this church, and they've pretty much fallen away from coming to church. And some time ago, some Jehovah Witnesses came, and they invited them out to a service. And so they went to that service. But the person I was speaking with today, they said this, though, but they realized right away from being raised here and knowing what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches, that what they were teaching there was not scriptural. So I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord if that person would get back into church. That would be good. But there are false shepherds that teach people things that are contrary to the Scriptures. And we need to be mindful of that. And we should be thankful. It really, as Jesus speaks these words here, it tells us about His heart. His heart warning us to be careful, because not every shepherd, he of course being the chief shepherd, but not every under-shepherd, meaning pastors and others, not all of them are authentic. And we need to be careful of that. And we should be thankful that He has a heart for us with regards to that. He reminds us in verse 7, look, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." And it reminds us in verse 10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." So the second so that's the first shepherd. The second shepherd, obviously, look at verse Ezekiel 34:5 on your handout. Ezekiel said this, "And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." So obviously the second fill-in is, there's three types of shepherds. One is false shepherds, We need to be careful of those. Number two is just having no shepherd. And Israel would go through a time period where they have no shepherds. We're studying Judges on Sunday nights. And, you know, the book of Judges is, in Judges it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They had no shepherd to lead them. And all through the Old Testament, there are different time periods where there was no one to lead them. And they lacked leadership. And I think it's in the book of Proverbs, right? That says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's all part of leadership. So there are people today who go through life with no shepherd at all. In fact, it broke Jesus' heart when he looked on the multitudes, the Bible said, and he was moved with compassion because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so we don't really need to say much more about that except for the reality of it. I guess you could liken that often today to people who get saved and then they fall away from church and they don't have a church to go to. They don't sit under the preaching of God's Word. They don't sit under the teaching of God's Word. And they're kind of going through life and going through their Christianity without a shepherd. And I was preaching a little bit on Sunday, but part of the reality is God has placed, we're seeing this in the book of Acts. Remember in Acts chapter 14, Paul ordained elders in every city, pastors to shepherd people. And there are those you'll run into. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, where do you attend church? Well, I don't really attend church anywhere. Well, they really have no... We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say they're truly born again. So Jesus is their shepherd. But they have no under-shepherd. And they're missing out with regards to all of that. So that's the second shepherd. And the third shepherd is, of course, the true shepherd. Let's read these verses again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. The reason I think that this is probably a reference to Judaism is because Jesus came to lead the Jewish people out of Judaism. And he mentions later on, you'll see that there's another fold. And the other fold would be the Gentiles, would be you and I. So there are those that came along the way who were false messiahs and false Christs. And but Jesus came, and as Jesus entered in, he came to tell them that he was the true shepherd, and again, to lead them from Judaism into the fold of grace. So we notice some things here, though, about the true shepherd. Look what it says in verse 3. First it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. So the sheep hear his voice. That means the true shepherd instructs the people, and the people hear what the shepherd has to say. The shepherd, the sheep, hear his voice. So he's an instructive shepherd. Secondly, we notice this too in verse 3. And he calleth his own sheep by name. So he's well acquainted with the flock. He knows the flock. You go to a pastor's meeting. I go to pastor's meetings. We sit and we talk and we kind of joke sometimes. We kind of laugh because every pastor is the same. Like this past Sunday morning, for one reason or another, it seemed like a lot of people were not here. And most pastors, I could tell you right now who was not here. And you say, well, we don't have a large church. But I can tell you who wasn't here and who was here. Because that's what a pastor does. He looks for the sheep to come in on Sunday morning. And when they're not here, he's wondering where they are. And what's going on in their lives. And, is there a spiritual problem? Are they not feeling well? Did they forget to set their alarm clock? So on and so forth, and things like that. So, or some, all right, they're away, they're on vacation, and maybe some that are at work, and so you know that. But that's what a shepherd does. You know, Jesus, the Bible says that he knows the very numbers of hairs upon our head. Well, the pastor feels that way too. You know, he's wondering where they are. And then when they're not there, even if they're traveling, they're away, you miss them. And Brother Frank was traveling. He was in North Carolina. Well, I missed him. He wasn't here. Ethan and Deborah and the family, they weren't here. So you missed them. And whoever it might be. So, I'll just be open and honest. When you're the pastor and you're preaching that morning and you're wondering what's going on, sometimes you really have to try to block it out of your mind, because for the first 10 minutes or so of the message, you're thinking about, at least I do, and I've heard other pastors say this, where's so-and-so? How come so-and-so's not here? Where did they go? What's going on with them? And so there you are. And so I think sometimes people don't realize that, because that's just the heart of a pastor. And so the true shepherd, he hears the sheep hear his voice. So a shepherd is instructing the sheep to follow him, and so on and so forth. He leads them. The great 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me besides the still waters. So he leads the sheep where they need to go. And he instructs them. That's how we lead. And then, well acquainted, they know the name of the sheep. And I just already said at the very end, he leadeth them out. He doesn't lord over them, but he leads them. You know, the old saying is, cattle you drive, but sheep you lead. And that's the difference. And so Jesus calls them out. And really, I think verses 1 through 3 is a reference to Jesus coming and leading the Jewish people out of Judaism into the saving knowledge of the one true Messiah. So we're reminded of that. And all through the Old Testament, too, you'll find references to Jesus as the shepherd. For instance, it talks about the shepherd in Psalm chapter 80, verse 1, that dwelleth between the cherubims. And Joseph in Genesis chapter 49, read it sometime near the end of the chapter, it talks about Joseph being a type of Jesus. And you'll notice the reference there of the shepherd. And we can learn from all of those things as well. But then we talk about the availability of the shepherd in verses 4 through 8. And we'll see some things here when we talk about the heart of a shepherd. The Bible says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So, again, it's the picture of the shepherd leading the sheep and them following him. So, in verse 4, our fill-in here is the presence of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know that our shepherd, our chief shepherd, our great shepherd, our good shepherd, his presence, he's always present. Amen? Always. We can be going astray, and you know, I'm sure you've all heard it. Sheep are one of the dumbest animals, all right? And so it's kind of an ironic thing that the Lord uses this example, but we can be dumb sometimes. We just do dumb things. And we need to be mindful of that. But even when we do dumb things, like dumb sheep, the shepherd is always there. And we should be very thankful that our shepherd's heart is that way. And I already quoted this. It's on your hand up. But in Matthew chapter 9, he saw the multitudes. He's moved with compassion because they fainted. They're scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so here we're reminded in John chapter 10 of his presence. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 on your handout, the very last part of it, he said, he would never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful truth that is. Amen? That he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I don't care what you're dealing with and what you're going through and how the dumbest thing you could ever possibly do, he has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. You know, one of the great verses in the Bible is that verse, where is it, in James, where he says, I've got to kind of paraphrase now, but he that lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. I might have even got that all right. Let him ask, he that lacketh, well, we all lack wisdom. And the sheep lack wisdom at times, but he gives to men. And God never will say, when we come to him, after we've done something dumb, whoa, you dummy. You know, what'd you do that for? Now you're on your own. But if we humbly come to him and realize that we have really messed up or done the wrong thing or made the wrong decision, he comes, he's our shepherd. And we should be so thankful for that. And sometimes, though, when he brings us back, it hurts. You know, there's the old, when you study the 23rd Psalm, you know, sometimes it was to take the sheep that would keep wandering away. You know, if you ever had an animal that kept doing the same thing, I got a dog once that several times got into porcupines. You would think that one time into porcupines would be enough. Those things hurt. And the reason I know that, I picked up a quill once, and I thought, this is neat, I'm going to take it home. I think I was going to take it home and show the kids. I went to put it in my pocket. Yow! Got little hooks on them, so when you pull them out, it goes like that. But I had a dog once that, like, I don't know, I think three times at least got into porcupines. In fact, about a month ago, or about maybe a little more than a month ago, I was walking my dog Duke out in the backyard, and all of a sudden, I see a porcupine. And I thought to myself, veterinarian and a big bill. So I grabbed Duke and got him in the house. And then another time, that porcupine hung around for a while. He's gone now. I saw a dead porcupine on the road. I hope that was him. And tastes like lamb? All right. Next time I'll scoop him up and bring him over. So anyhow, a week or two after that, I'm walking Duke again. I have this kind of path I walk around the back and up by the pond. But there's Shelly out with, I think, a broom or something. And she's running up in the woods chasing this porcupine because she's afraid Duke's going to get into this porcupine. Which I took Duke back into the house. I said, where is this porcupine? I grabbed my shotgun. I went looking for that porcupine, but could not find him. But I think a car found him, and that's just as good. So anyhow, what am I saying? Oh, the sheep, they wander away. You'd think they'd learn. And from what I've read, sometimes the shepherd would take the rod and break one of the legs on the sheep so that little sheep couldn't go away any longer. So sometimes, we do dumb things, and sometimes, it hurts. But the Lord hasn't forsaken us. And because it's his availability. His presence is always with us. So he goeth before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. That example I gave you before about the person who got involved with the Jehovah Witnesses, he realized that the voice that he was hearing was not the voice of the shepherd. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. And then in verses 7 through 11, the next fill-in is, it's our protection. That's what a shepherd would do. He would protect. Remember David, you know, when he was watching the sheep, you know, he would say, you know, the bear came and God delivered the bear into my hand, and the lion came and God delivered the lion. And with regards to Goliath, he said, God will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand as well. So God protects us. Even sometimes we do dumb things. So in verse 7, he says, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So let's just stop there. Again, from some of the reading that I did, when shepherds would bring the sheep in at night, there was a fold. And the fold was usually made of stones and sticks and briars and anything, kind of like what we would think of more of like a corral, only instead of it being made of a fence like we would think of, it was made of whatever that they could find. And so they would usher the sheep in at night, and then the shepherd would plant himself in the only entrance to the fold. So the only way in and the only way out was for the shepherd. They had to go past the shepherd. And so that's the picture that he's painting here. And this would, as he began to explain this to those who were listening, they would have all understood this. Oh, yes. They would have seen that in their mind because they had seen it all over Israel. By the way, if you go to Israel today, even driving up to Jerusalem, As you drive up into the mountains, you'll still see sheep and shepherds out about on the countryside. So he says this, and he reminds them again about protecting them from thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, verse 9, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. And then he goes on and he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd, he giveth his life for the sheep. So this shepherd, our shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, he's ready to lay, not only is he ready, he already laid down his life for us on the cross. So it tells you about his heart for us. And we're just dumb sheep. But think about shepherds in this day, David protecting a sheep from a bear or from a lion. Well, let's say he had 100 sheep. All right, well, there's a bear. All right, I'm going to let the bear take the one sheep. No, he didn't do that. I mean, he would fight for that one lamb. That was his responsibility, just to protect that one lamb. Or if that lamb wandered away, to go bring that lamb back. It could take hours or it could take days to find that lamb. It is the protectiveness of the shepherd who watches over us and warns us about thieves. The thief who comes to kill and to destroy and to steal. And of course, the great thief himself is Satan himself, who wants to come and steal. But our flesh in some ways is the same. And the world we live in, the philosophy of the world that we live in, the philosophy of this world, it's a thief. It wants to steal and kill and to destroy, and that's all that it does. That's why it's so wonderful to have a shepherd. And we're warned. He guarded the fold, and he guards over us. But verse 13 reminds us that the hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. He's just in it for the money and just in it for material things or some other reason. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we're reminded here about his availability. He's always present. And he's there to protect, so he guides us, he guards us. And then lastly, the great purpose that he came, verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of the Father. So just think about that just for a moment. So the last fill in here is the purpose, why Jesus came. He came to lay down his life for you. Shows you the heart that he has for you. And it was his choice. No one nailed Jesus. Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. The scriptures clearly teach that he could have called 10,000 angels to rescue him. But he laid down his life for us. He took that cup, and he drank of that cup for us. It shows you the heart of the shepherd, that he was willing to do that. Philippians on your handout, we'll finish with this. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did that for you and for me. And I guess I should have made reference to verse 16 too, where he said, and I did it earlier, but other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. Remember in Ephesians it talks about breaking down the middle wall of partition? That was between the Jewish people and the Gentile people. And so here in chapter 10, I believe the beginning parts of it, he's talking about He came to the Jewish people. He led them leading them out of Judaism. And here he reminds us that there's another fold. And those are the heathen. It's you and I, the Gentiles. And he brings us together as one body. So that's our Bible study for tonight. The availability of the shepherd. and the authenticity of the shepherd, it gives us insight into his heart that he has for you and for me. Let's have a short word of prayer, and then you can go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, bless now our prayer time, and just speak to our hearts as we bring our prayer requests to the throne of grace. Thank you for the privilege that you give us. Thank you for being our shepherd. And Lord, help us to hear your voice, to hear your call, and to heed it, to follow it. Help us to be on guard against false teaching and against false doctrine and things that are not pleasing unto you. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.